Father God, we thank you that we can stand here this morning, God, in your presence, Father God. Thank you that we've got the privilege to call ourselves your children, Father God. Thank you that we don't have to do anything, God, except come to you and run to you, Father God, and worship you, Father. And this morning we want to come to you, God, with humble hearts, Father. We want to come to you and we want to glorify you, God. We want to declare, God, that you are our King and our Savior, Father. That you are our beginning and our end, Father God. God, that you are holy, Father God, and that you are our Creator, Father God. God, and we want to, first of all, just repent, God, just of our selfishness, Father God. How we make everything about ourselves all the time, Father God. God, and I ask that your Holy Spirit will come in this morning, God, and just teach us something, Lord. Teach us something of your kingdom and of your spirit, Father God, and of servanthood, Father God, of what it is to be a Christian, Father God. Give us the ability to take the focus off ourselves, Father God, and really put the focus on your kingdom, God, on your heart's desires, Father. Give us the ability to trust you, Father God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you come into this place and come into our hearts, each and every person. Just fill us up. Convict our hearts just of, just the fact that we're so selfish. Thank you for the privilege, Father God, to be in your house, God. Thank you for the privilege to be here, Father God. Thank you that we've got the freedom to worship you, Father God, that we're not persecuted, Father God, but that we can freely worship you this morning. We ask your forgiveness that we take it for granted so many times, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. Thank you, Flo. Right. Just while we take our seats, if the ushers would just take up the offering quickly. And I'm going to hand out, I'm going to start here, and I want to ask just each and everyone to take one and just send it around, take it out somewhere. Yeah. Okay. Just as they say, if the new guys, if they just put in that little card that you fill in, just pop it in the offering basket as well. We'll appreciate that. Then we can contact you and just hear if you're actually keen to join a cell group or anything. We're not going to send you spam email the whole time. We just want to hear if you're happy and if we can assist in any way in your lives, and if you want to know what's going on. Right. Let's just pray for the offering. Father God, thank you for the fact that we're actually in a position to give, Father God. And this morning I want to give not because I told the guys to pass around the basket and we don't want to look as if we don't want to give, God. We want to give because we're in a privileged position, God. We want to give because we have received, Father God. And I pray that that you use this small offering, God, just to, God, to broaden your kingdom, God. To make your kingdom come in this earth, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, guys, my name is Ter de Villiers. I'm not a pastor, for those of you who don't know me. It's my wife and my mom sitting there on the left-hand side, and we moved to Bloem in 2008, end of 2008, and then we started the church. So every now and then I get an opportunity to actually share a word with you guys. And as everybody is in Stellenbosch at the moment, and Alistair is there, and I've got the privilege to actually bring a word to you. And basically what happened is, as I was preparing for this morning, I first of all wanted to testify about our little daughter that was born 2 weeks ago. Now, for all the mums here, you would know that labor is not a very fun thing. It's not something that you can't wait for. But God has just, in our case, just been so faithful. And my wife went into labor at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the previous time, I was very apathetic, is not the right word. I was very not so keen to go on with our first child because you've got this Braxton Hicks contraction that sort of, the skein contraction, it's not real contractions. And my wife had quite a lot of them. What? She's by my right hand there. She's constantly going to give me a bit of info there because I might have these things wrong. But anyway, she had some of them. I actually thought that she's having these contractions again. And I didn't want us to drive all the way to the hospital. And then we get there and then she's disappointed because then it isn't a real contraction. And so I was showering for quite a long time and drove the longest route to hopefully that she'd at some stage say, okay, no, it's fine. That was sort of my approach on the thing. And then as we walked into the hospital, she was also like standing like this. And I thought, oh, she's just making it now even worse because she just wants to, you know, make me feel as if there's really something. Anyway, got there and then they said, okay, no, this is real contractions. It's shooting through the radar, yeah. So I felt a bit bad. So on this time, then she woke me up at 3. She said, listen, I think we need to go. So I didn't even shower. We got in the car because the gynecologist told us the next time when she feels anything, you go to hospital. This child might come very quickly. So I obeyed that instruction. And we got there at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think she was, what's this, on slate in English? Dilated, is it? I think it's diluted, dilated. 3 centimeters. Now, you need to get to 10 centimeters, obviously. She didn't have that much pain. She had contractions, but she didn't have that much pain. So, and they said, we can stay there. And I said, man, let's just go home. We can sleep there. It's you going to be more relaxed. So we drove all the way back home. And got in bed and slept. And at 7 o'clock, she woke me up. She said, okay, now we need to go again. So we go there again. And they said, now can you dilate it? 4 centimeters now. So that's what, in 5 hours, a few, or 1 centimeter. But we decided to stay there, so we put on the television, and she did some word puzzles and all of that, and at about 3:30 that afternoon, the sister came in, and she was at 5 centimeters, and we're like, yes. The previous time, it really went fast. It was like 2 hours, the baby was there. So this was for us strange, and we've always heard about these people that's in labor for 24 hours, and so the sister went out and I said to Mika, let's just pray for this thing because this is natural. God created this thing. There's no reason for it to be this lengthy procedure. Again, I could see she's starting to stress and we didn't want her to have an induction. We wanted naturally and all of that. And you sort of tend to start to worry, you know, is everything all right type of thing. And we just said, God, you know, we just came into agreement. Said, listen, I know this is a natural process. You created birth. You the architect of it. And we spoke directly to certain part of her body and said, you know, you need to come into order. And as we pray, a water broke. And within 44 minutes after that, the child was there. And so I just obviously want to give God all the glory, but you know, that thing was in my mind the whole time. And then I realized, you know, I thought of speaking to you guys about prayer this morning. And, you know, I think it's something that we don't always value enough. We don't put it as a priority because I think our Western culture is a lot, if we don't do anything, we just sit and pray, then we feel that we're not really doing anything. But in actual fact, all we're doing is we're just telling God that, you know, I don't trust you enough. So I'm just rather going to start getting busy and doing stuff, you know. And we forget to ask God for certain things. So I just want to know, we're going to have actually a very interactive sermon this morning. I'm going to do very little talking and I want you guys, we're few people, so don't be shy. But is there anybody here just with a testimony of how you prayed for something and God came through for you? Is there anybody here? Nobody. Are you guys Christians? Huh? You pray. Flo, did you not have something? Didn't you ask God for something? Well, not really. Is it? Okay. Anybody else? Nobody with a testimony. Okay, but basically, weet nou, my jou eister, kom hier so.
Ek het 'n Jou agtema Afrikaans brood, jy, dit is regtig amazing. Soos my ma wil trek vir sete en so, en sy het so huis in die mark gesit, en soos binne 2 weke, soos sonder 'n bordjie, sonder enige iets, daar was soos amper, ek dink daar was soos oor die 12 mense wat kom kyk het, en jou, ek net sê, Here, die glorie gee, want dit is regtig amazing.
Amen. But that is, that's what happens a lot. It's, I was actually thinking as we drove here this morning, there was another testimony that I wanted to give, but I can't remember it now. The Holy Spirit will remind me just now. But I was just, you know, not convicted of the fact, but I was just reminded, and I started thinking of what is my prayer life revolving around. And my prayer life revolves around really actually myself. But it's, God is so amazing that He really, He's got our backs. He's really got our needs and our desires on His heart. But we tend to focus so much on that. I started looking on the internet and I came across this John Piper thing. He's got an amazing website, Desiring God. And he had this whole list of what did the early church actually pray for? And I want you to just read through it. We're going to quickly just scan through it. And I must be honest, I was a bit convicted. Called on God to exalt His name in the world. I can't remember when last I prayed for that, truly. Just seeking God's face for that. Called on God to extend His kingdom in the world. Most probably basically the same type of thing. That the gospel would run and triumph. For the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's something we pray for often, I think. To vindicate His people and their cause. Called on God to save unbelievers. When we get to church before and when we pray for this. Direct the use of the sword. Boldness in proclamation for signs and wonders. Healing of the wounded comrades. For healing of unbelievers. Casting out of demons. Miraculous deliverances, raising of the dead, supplies troops with necessities, strategic wisdom, to establish leadership in the outposts, to send out reinforcements, success of other missionaries, unity and harmony in the ranks, the encouragement of togetherness, for a mind of discernment, knowledge of His will, to know Him better, to comprehend the love of Christ, deeper sense of assured hope, strength and endurance, deeper sense of His power within them, not to be destroyed, greater faith, not to fall into temptation, to complete their resolves, that they would do good works, that God would forgive their sins and protect them from the evil one. And I read through that thing and I was like, yo, I don't pray for these things. And for me, on the one hand, it was just so amazing to see how God is still so faithful. And that scripture of seek first the kingdom of God and the rest will follow just came to mind. Because in the end, these things that we pray for, praying for that little baby to just, you know, come very quickly and take authority over that situation or your mom's situation, that is something that God will automatically, it will happen. And He's so faithful in those things that we trust Him with. But are we faithful? Are we praying for these things? And we're not, guys. Or I'm not. I can't talk for you guys. I don't know. Maybe you guys are. But I cannot say that I'm doing that. And, you know, it's so important. If and that's why, for instance, there's one that says that he would, the success of other missionaries, troops with these necessities. That's why missions is so important, is to go on missions. And for instance, these people that are in Lesotho, Lulu and Ferdi, they situated there in the outpost on their own, grafting, being kicked out of their house, need to move again. And we need to pray for these guys. And I mean, I've prayed for them maybe twice or three times, but I've prayed for myself so many times. And it's so important to pray for these guys. I mean, the scripture is so clear on the fact that we the battle that we fight is not battles of flesh and bone. It's spiritual that we're fighting. And as I said previously, that I think our biggest challenge is that as soon as we pray, I don't know who struggles with prayer. You know, sometimes I feel that, okay, I'm praying, but yes, God, is it really effective? Is it really doing something? You know, maybe I should just get in my car and drive there and go help them. But, I mean, we still all have works and we need to work and we need to, you know, do what we need to do here. But then something like that happens where I prayed and I asked God, now what is the difference between praying for my wife to go into labor and for my child to come into life? What is different from that than praying for Ferdi and Lulu out in the mountains there in Lesotho? I mean, is it too far that God can't reach there? Just because my wife is just next to me now, something is going to happen. But when the people are out there and you can't see something, does it mean nothing is going to happen? No. God is the same in every situation. And I think our biggest issue is that we don't trust God. Do we really trust God? Do we say that God, if those people are in a situation where they need to move out of their house, they need a place to stay, they need land so they can build an orphanage, they need the community's backing, there's so many things that they need. And we always want to take stuff in our own hands and go and give them 10,000 rand and then leave. And say, okay, now they sorted out. My gewete is gesis, ek kan hom al vergeet. But we need to see God on these things. We need to seek His face. Just on stuff like praying for unity in the ranks that He says there. Is praying for us, my wife and me, as the elders with Alistair and Hester, that there's unity amongst us. That's extremely important, guys. It's extremely important that we holding hands the whole time. And the devil is so clever on making us more critical, maybe. And we only criticize him or we only see the stuff that he does wrong. The devil is so clever in putting little stuff like that. And then in doing that, there's no unity amongst us. So there's two forces pulling together. That can so easily happen. Are we praying enough for that? Are we praying for God's will to be established in this place, in this community that we are now? Are we praying for His fullness to come every Sunday? Are we seeking God's face? Do we have a desire to see unbelievers come to a place where they believe in God? If you just think about yourself, I don't want to be the one that I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to convict you this morning, because I don't want to stand here and you know, convict you. It's not going to have the same power. I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to do that. But if you have to put a scale in the amount of time that you pray for yourself, or I pray for myself, and the amount of time that we're actually praying for unbelievers, praying for people that's not saved, praying to hear God's voice and to walk in fullness, to know His direction. Are we praying for discernment at work? I don't think we're praying enough. So what I want us to do this morning is we're actually going to take the time that we have left. I actually wanted to be finished by 10, but we're going to take 30 minutes. And I want you specifically to put into groups of 2 or 3 or whatever people that you're comfortable with, that you know. Take 5 or 10 of those things. And I want you to seek God's face for that. I want you to ask Him for that. And I want you not that it won't stop here. We mustn't just pray here this morning. If you're married, I want you to go back home and in this week, just get with your wife at night and pray for these things. Because I honestly believe if we become a church where we see, and I'm not saying that what we did or what you guys did is not seeking God's face. It's not seeking God's face. That is God's heart. He loves us. And I think it just speaks of His faithfulness towards us. But can you imagine if we as a church start praying for these things that is really on God's heart? I promise you, we will see amazing things in this town. And God won't stop to bless us with those little things. I promise you that. He's proven Himself faithful so many times. But I just think we're not proving ourselves faithful. So let's take 30 minutes. Turn into groups. I'm going to stop talking now. And I want you to pray for those things. Just, you won't get through the whole list. Just take 5 things. And I want you to trust God. If you've got a word, please come up and share it. If you've got a vision, please come up and share it. And we're going to pray for these things. All right. I was just reminded now of the other thing that we prayed for this week. My dad's got a bunch of cattle that's up here in the Eastern Free State. They're from the Cape. And the guy's farm was liquidated, so he had to sell the farm. And now it's 150 cattle that's there. And he's actually hiring it from him. So now my dad needs to make a decision. Okay, what's he going to do with it? And he was stressed out. He's 65 now. So I think that's a big part of his income. So I think at that stage, you don't want to have to worry about that. So obviously he was stressed out. I really saw it. And he drove up there on Tuesday for a meeting. But he didn't know, he either had to sell the stuff, but he didn't know if there's really a market for it. He actually phoned the guys up and he said, well, now isn't the best time to sell the stuff. And obviously there's not a lot of people that's just going to take 150 cattle. And we just prayed for it and said, God, yes, this is a situation. You know exactly what's going on here. And we just asked that you come in and just let the situation work out. And my dad phoned the afternoon and he said, the guy is selling the farm, definitely. He can't stay on. But then some people that he knows came there, and he's actually hiring from three different farms, from three guys. My dad's just one of them. And all his cattle has got green tags on. So the people walked in there. They've got a big farm about 3 hours away from there. And they came to look at the place and, just support this guy because obviously he's losing everything. And then they asked, but okay, what are you going to do with all the cattle? And the guy said, no, well, I don't know. I'm hiring all of them. And they said, but just so they really like these cattle with the green tags on. Can't they take all the cattle? And my dad, and the next morning, they drove out there and they met. And it's just amazing just how this whole thing worked out again. And again, it's just testifying of God really hears our prayers. And that's what I really want to encourage you guys, is don't think that when we pray for stuff like this, there's nothing different from praying for your own things than praying for these things. And also, don't think that I'm telling you not to pray for stuff like that. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying, let's just get the balance right and start praying for these things. In the end, God did tell us to tend to this world. He gave the world to us. He said, tend it. Look after it. And this is part of that. It's the same thing as your dad giving us a car. Because I think I'll come back to that now. I think what we do a lot of time is we think, yeah, but it's God's people and it's His church and it's His spirit and His discernment. So He'll do it. We don't have to pray for it. But we really need to pray for it. It's like when your dad gives you a car and you think, okay, but I don't have to clean it or whatever. It's still my dad. He'll come in and clean it. Nonsense. He's not going to clean your car. You need to look after it. You need to make sure that it goes to the surface and all of that. That's what stewardship is, and this is part of us as Christian believers. That's part of our stewardship, is we need to pray for these things. We need to pray these things into being. So I really want to encourage you guys. Please, guys, let's, as a church together, I know we're only a handful of people here now, but let's in this week just bring these things to God. Bring your stuff as well. What I promise you, as soon as you start praying for these things, it's almost as if those things fade away. And I promise you, God will still be faithful, and He knows exactly what our heart's desires. All right. Let's just close in prayer, and then we're done. God, thank you for a different sermon, God. Not that it's really a sermon, Father God, but what can we say about these things, God? The only thing we can say is that we're wrong in so many ways, God. And we're so focused on ourselves, Father God. And thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you that I can stand here and just out of my own life testify in so many ways, God, of how you've come through for me and my family, God. And but in the same way, God, I just feel so convicted of not also praying for the right things, God. Not praying for your kingdom, God. Not praying for boldness, God. Not praying to understand your love, God. Not praying for understanding your the hope that is in you, God, more, Father. Not praying enough for unbelievers, God. Not praying enough for the people at my work, Father God, that don't know you, Father. Not praying for discernment enough, God. Not praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit enough, God. I just pray so much more for myself, God. And as a church, we want to come before you this morning, God, and ask you forgiveness, God. But also pray and ask, Holy Spirit, that you will, as we pray, that you'll come and remind us of these things. Come and place these things in front of us, God. Even if we need to put it on a paper and pray off a list, God. But come and help us with that, Father. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that this morning is cold, God, that we can feel alive, Father God, that we can know that you are in control, Father God. God, we just lift up this day to you, God. We lift up all the people at the Convergence Conference, God. We pray that lives will be changed, Father God, that people won't walk out there the same, Father. Change lives, Father God. I pray for your kingdom to come in this town, God, in this area that we're at, Father God. Help us to focus on you and in your kingdom, Father God. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying with me. Thank you that I don't have to stand here and tell you that you need to pray for half an hour. This is just my thing. I just thought, I can tell you the whole time that you need to pray, but in the end, we just need to start doing it. And I really want to encourage you. Amen. Have a great day.